Chegou.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Mideast fuse has been lit, declared Hal Lindsey, the former author of the famous book concerning the end times, The Late Great Planet Earth. He says the Mideast fuse has been lit. Iran's promised attack arrived Saturday, April 13th. The world now holds its breath, fearful that an Israeli reprisal will keep the volatile region spiraling toward a greater war. He said, I believe Bible prophecy indicates that the present conflict will not immediately turn into the global conflagration so many now fear, but it is a part of a pattern that will eventually lead to Armageddon. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and indeed, the world is on pins and needles. The entire Western world, for instance, is trying desperately to get Israel not to respond to Iran's attack with hundreds of drones and missiles. But Israel says, we'll make our own decisions. We're not here to allow anyone else to make a decision for us. We are the ones under attack, and we will deal with it our way. So, indeed, friends, the world is on pins and needles, and Hal Lindsey may very well be correct that the fuse has been lit. The problem is we don't know how long the fuse is. It could be a short fuse, it could be a long fuse, and I dare say I agree with him that it must be a long fuse. A long fuse. So there's much more that's going to have to transpire, because indeed we know the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Iran, formerly known as Persia until 1935, will be included in the Gog and Magog war that Ezekiel spoke about, that includes, it would appear, Russia and Libya and Togarma and Gomer and many other nations with them to take a spoil. And it appears that the spoil that they would take has not yet appeared. Therefore, this is only a precursor to the ultimate, certainly, Battle of Gog and Magog. Some say the Battle of Gog and Magog is the same as the Battle of Armageddon. I'm not convinced. I think they're two separate. The Gog and Magog will precede, in many respects, the Battle of Armageddon, which is a radically conclusive battle involving the kings of the East. And so, that's where we stand here today on Viewpoint, and we're going to take a look, a further look in detail at what is transpiring with regard to Iran. You see, what people don't seem to realize is this is not something that's just taking place in some sort of tit-for-tat barnyard, international barnyard squabble between Israel and Iran. The history of this is much deeper, much more profound, and actually is prophesied. And so, today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at the details of this, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And I might indicate to you that there is more to this involving the United States of America. Here is the latest, friends. The article is called Stunning Betrayal. Stunning Betrayal. What is that all about? Well, the stunning betrayal has to do with a report coming from Reuters news agency that Joseph Biden, the putative president of the United States, has approved and did approve Iran's attack on Israel with certain limits, end quote, with certain limits. That was the caution Joe Biden gave to Iran just before it attacked Israel with drones, missiles, and more, essentially allowing the act of war mounting evidence is revealing. It was Reuters that reported just days ago, a diplomatic source said Iran told Turkey about the plans to attack, and Washington had conveyed to Tehran, that is Iran, via Ankara, that is Turkey, that any action it took had to be, quote, within certain limits. Reuters said the Turkish source, speaking on condition of anonymity, confirmed, quote, Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan had spoken to both the U.S. and Iranian counterparts to discuss the planned Iranian operation, adding Ankara had been made aware of possible developments, unquote. Again, the report states earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to Fidan in Turkey to make clear that escalation in the Middle East was not in anyone's interest. The source confirmed that Iran informed us in advance of what would happen. In other words, Iran effectively warned the United States of what they were going to do, what would happen. And the United States conveyed to Iran through us that this reaction must be within certain limits. So the question is Joe Biden partly to blame for Iran's attack on Israel? That's the question. Well, here's a response. Stunning betrayal. Joe Biden already is trailing President Donald Trump in many of the polls addressing the coming election in swing states, those vote totals that most likely will decide the presidency. Why is that significant? Because Michigan, friends, has a heavy Muslim vote, particularly in the Dearborn area, where over 90% of the populace are Muslims. If Biden loses Michigan, the belief is he loses the election. Therefore, he is pandering to the Muslim world, i.e. Iran, in order to somehow secure the Muslim vote in Michigan. You say, well, why would that be necessary? Well, because the Muslim vote in Michigan decided during the primary election not to vote directly for Joe Biden. And Joe Biden and the Democrat Party heard the message. You either go after Israel or you don't get our vote. Are you beginning to get the connection now? Did Joe Biden then facilitate by doing nothing and basically giving his tacit approval to Iran to attack Israel? Would you call that a stunning betrayal? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Was that a stunning betrayal when Joe Biden, apparently, through his administration, decided to give a tacit approval to Iran to attack Israel just, as they said, keep it within limits? within certain limits. Well, now there's a headwind, a call for Joe Biden to be compelled to resign. If, in fact, the report that he knew in advance of Iran's plans to launch a war against Israel and did nothing is correct. The call appeared this week from Peter Laffan, a contributor to the Washington Examiner. The U.S. allegedly conveyed to Tehran through Ankara that any action would have to be within certain limits. The White House has denied the claim. But if the report is accurate, and in particular, if President Joe Biden greenlit a strike against a key American ally, he must be compelled to resign the presidency immediately, said Peter Laffan. Such an act, even if taken with the apparent best long-term interests of the ally in mind, represents a stunning betrayal that has the potential to erode trust among allies around the globe. Given the swift rise of the authoritarian axis in the East in recent years, coupled with America's waning global influence, a scandal of this magnitude must not be tolerated, says the writer. He pointed out that the alleged approval actually fits within Biden's overall stance toward Tehran, which is largely indistinguishable from that of former President Barack Obama. You may remember the O'Biden view, the Obama-Biden view, was that Iran is not a rogue nation bent on destruction of the West, and the frequent death to America chants by lawmakers and citizens notwithstanding, but a rational international, Iran's just a natural, rational international actor that can be reasoned with and bought off at the right price. Mr. Laffan of the Washington Examiner said that Biden apparently values his relationship with the world's foremost funder of terrorism as much as his relationship with the only democracy in the Middle East and one of America's most important allies, that is, Israel. What will be the fallout? These are serious accusations. So the plot thickens, doesn't it? The plot brings the United States into this equation of confrontation with Israel. Iran. We've known that Iran was right at the epicenter of biblical prophecy with regard to Israel and its destruction. Iran and its mullahs since 1979, when it became a fundamentalist Muslim nation, religiously Muslim nation, has decreed the destruction of Israel. And so, Hal Lindsey says the fuse has been lit. How long will it take for the fuse that has been lit to ignite the entire world? That's really what the concern is. And so, the Jerusalem Post says this: Iran sought to change the equation of its confrontation with Israel by its attack a few days ago. They say a new precedent has been set in the Middle East. Why? Well, because Iran has upped the ante. Today, Iran has graduated in its attack levels and is willing to launch hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel without any seeming response from the rest of the nations of the world, including the U.S. This sets a new bar and implies Iran may now carry out massive attacks in the future. Iran has watched, as some commentators called the April 13th, 14th attack, symbolic. In reality, the attack was massive and unprecedented. Iran has set a bar through its attacks. It will want to maintain that bar and also its militias in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen to continue attacks on Israel. Iran believes it's a new era, not only after the April 13th attack, but also since October 7th. Iran thinks it is playing the region like a conductor at a symphony. Israel has to decide whether it wants to keep listening to the music or upend this drumbeat. Coming from the Jerusalem Post, friends. At the same time, Iran's president now, today, has warned that the tiniest invasion by Israel would bring a massive and harsh response as the region braces for total potential Israeli retaliation after Iran's attack over the weekend. Israel, according to the Associated Press, with help from the United States, the United Kingdom, neighboring Jordan, and other nations, successfully intercepted nearly all the missiles and drones. That's a miracle. Tensions in the region have increased, though, since the start of the latest Israeli Hamas war in October 7th, when Hamas and Islamic Jihad, two militant groups backed by Iran, carried out a cross-border attack that killed 1,200 people in Israel and kidnapped 250 others. There are continuing calls for restraint across the world. Netanyahu has brushed off those calls for restraint, saying Israel will decide to respond to Iran's attacks in time and in manner. That's where we are. At the same time, a writer with the Israel National News, Melanie Phillips, says Israel is slowly being strangled. That's the goal. That's the goal of the Islamic world. That's the goal of Iran, to totally strangle Israel. And what you may not understand is that Hezbollah in the north, which is far more virulent and violent than Hamas, has already launched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rockets into northern Israel, causing Israel to remove 80,000 residents in order to protect them. And that's just the beginning. It's precisely because of that that Israel attacked the Iranian embassy in Syria, because it was being used to prepare Hezbollah for further massive attack on Israel. That's the reason. So we begin to tie the pieces together, and it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture at all. Now, at the same time, Jerusalem is the holy grail of jihad. We need to understand this. It's the symbol of Islam's triumph over the world to establish an Islamic throne on the Temple Mount. On the Temple Mount. Please do not dismiss the goal. The goal of Islam is to rule and reign from the Temple Mount, bringing Sharia law to bear over not only Israel, but the whole world. Hamas has already declared that its goal is not just the destruction of Israel, it's the dominion and destruction of the entire world. They believe that that's the only way that they can usher in their Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi. Now, if you do not understand this and so many other dozens of issues, my friends, with regard to counteracting Messiah movements, you do not understand the pressures that are ultimately going to come to bear on the entire world. And that's what I wrote about in the book Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It's not just about Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah to come. It's about all of the other collective so-called messiahs, including the Islamic Messiah, the New Age Messiah, the technological Messiah, the Hindu Messiah, and many other messiahs, including the Baha Messiah. You see, the messianic moment here is being seized by at least a dozen other movements in our world to compel the world into a one world order through a counterfeit Messiah. It goes a step beyond what we normally think about the Antichrist. It really tells us how the pressures are being brought to bear through religious pressures in the world to counterfeit the Messiah himself before he comes. Even the former Prime Minister of Britain, the UK, Tony Blair, said in 2007 that religion is the new politics. Religion is the new politics, he said. Religion, he said, is the new politics. I hope you heard that. Religion is the new politics. In other words, behind all of the things that are happening is not just political power, it's religion. And that's being seized upon by the enemy of your soul and mine, Satan, to prepare the way for the ultimate investiture of Satan's rule in the Antichrist figure. But we do not understand the pressures that are being brought through these various collective messianic efforts. We do not understand the fullness of the massive deception that Jesus said was going to take place. As he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So I direct your attention to two books right now. The first is Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. You do not know what's in that book. Your imagination will not allow you to completely understand what is in that book. You think you know about, well, Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But it's what you don't know, you see, that may hurt you. And that's what that book is about, leading only ultimately to the coming of Messiah. And we're in a period known as the third day. At the end of that book is a chapter that's well worth the whole book, the price of the whole book itself, called The Third Day. We're in that period. But what is it about? It's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. I hope you'll get a copy of it. A lot of people have gotten all the other books, but that one, well, they just thought they knew what it was all about, but they didn't. Didn't have a clue. Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. There's a mystery to be understood, the fullness of it, and how this messianic moment, the world sees this as a messianic moment, however they define it, and that's why the pressures are building. And that, my friends, is why Iran is making its moves. It feels compelled to make these moves. You'll read about it in Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. $18 on our website. We'll put the $22 book in your hands. Saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, what people do not realize is the fullness of the rise of Islam. And we're going to take a look at that in the next couple of segments. The call to jihad, what is that all about? Where does Iran fit in all of that? What is this Islamic Messiah? It's people are talking about. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Jerusalem is the holy grail of jihad. Jihad is the continuing effort of warfare, whether behind the scenes, undercurrents, or outright violence, to gain dominion over the Temple Mount, which is the symbol of Islam's triumph over the world, to establish an Islamic throne upon the Temple Mount. Early in the 7th century, a new people and a new faith appeared on the world stage. In September of 622 AD, the Prophet Muhammad fled from the hostile city of Mecca to Medina. That event, known as the Al-Hijra, marked the beginning of what might be called the Muslim era. Within only 11 years, the followers of Muhammad exploded out of Arabia and began a brutal military pursuit of domination of the then-known world. Within 10 years, the Arab Muslims not only defeated the Byzantine Empire, that is, Eastern Rome, but also controlled Damascus and Jerusalem. Within 20 years, they controlled Syria, Palestine, Egypt, and the Persian Empire. Amazingly, their advance to control all of Europe was stopped short in 732 AD by Charles Martel, only 150 miles from Paris. Three of the Pope's five historic patriarchies, Alexandria, Antioch, and Jerusalem, were decimated. All the Catholic churches of North Africa disappeared except for the Copts of Egypt. The lands which had seen the origins of Christianity were all lost, never to this day to be truly recovered. The Eastern Roman Empire was hideously maimed. As the Belgian historian Henri Perrine suggested, it was Muhammad who made Charlemagne possible. So there was a collision of empires. It was Muhammad versus the Pope. Muhammad versus the Pope. And apart from the Christian faith, Islam is arguably the most influential religion in the world, with approximately 1.4 billion followers. And Islam is the correct name for the religion of Muhammad, while Muslim describes a follower of Islam. Islam now dominates over 50% of the countries on three continents. Are you aware of that? Islam now dominates over 50% of the countries on three continents. And the meaning, the heart and soul of Islam, is submission. Not voluntary submission, but submission, if necessary, at the point of the sword. You submit or you perish. The world's leaders have not been quite ready to look at this, and Barack Obama made a... It was like a betrayal of America, a betrayal of the West. When the very first thing he did out of his presidency was to go to the Middle East and start apologizing for America, for Europe, for the rest of the world, and went to the very hot spots of Islam in order to curry their favor. Then he turned around and gave untold billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, to the mullahs of Iran in order to try to curry their favor. And Mr. Obama was followed by Mr. Biden, who is following in the very same footsteps and just gave another massive inflection of cash to Iran. Where is all this leading? Well, let's look at it this way. In my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, For He Who Rules the Temple Mount is Deemed to Rule the World, Chapter 21 is called The Mahdi versus the Messiah. The Mahdi, that's the Islamic Messiah, actually under Shiite Islam, which is the Iran's version of Islam. They are looking for the 12th Imam, their Messiah, to come. And the theme is revolution. But revolution in Iran and the entire Islamic world is driven exclusively by religion. Notwithstanding the naive claims of Western pundits and politicians of their supposed hunger for democracy, George W. Bush proved that they weren't interested in democracy. He was a globalist, and his effort at globalism failed dramatically and set the stage in many respects. A Republican president set the stage in many respects for what we're seeing today. When after the attack on the World Trade Centers, 9/11, remember that, the Republican president, believed to be a Christian, went out and immediately proclaimed that Islam was a peaceful religion and that Muslims, Jews, and Christians all worship the same God. Nothing could have been further from the truth. But that wasn't enough for him. A few weeks later, he went out and announced that all religions worship the same God. So we know from that statement, George W. Bush was not a true follower of Jesus Christ. He was a follower of the spirit of globalism to unite the world, just like Tony Blair, under all the world's religions. And then he went to the Vatican on the death of John Paul II and basically confirmed that he was willing to bring the Western world and perhaps all the world under the dominion of the Pope. But the Islamic revolution is not complete yet. Islam, by its very nature, is the ultimate and inseparable melding of religion and all civil and governmental rules and relationships. In effect, it's a religious dictatorship, mandating absolute submission by all in its sphere, either by voluntary submission or by force or threat of force. And Muslims, especially Shiite Muslims, are anticipating their Messiah, called the Mahdi, who will lead them in the final conquest of earth, deposing all who deign to resist them, ushering in a global caliphate. It is the Islamic apocalypse, or unveiling, to be soon revealed in these end times. So when Hal Lindsey said the fuse has been lit, that's basically what he was saying. That this Islamic so-called apocalypse or unveiling is soon to be revealed in the end times. It's happening. The fuse has been lit. So the Western world doesn't get it. We still think and have convinced ourselves that employing the tools of democracy to gain political power and cultural religious acceptance is going to win somehow Islam, and it's not. We can't even seem to win our own countries that have abandoned the fear of the Lord. But there's a coming moment of truth, friends. A global explosion of Islamic reality. They believe that that is necessary to usher in the return of the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. It is called and they call it the coming. Now, what do we call, what do Christians call the return of the Lord? We call it the second coming, don't we? Shiite Muslims call their Messiah coming the coming. So, the Iranian government has seen the current advancing unrest in the Middle East as a sign that the Mahdi, that is, the Islamic Messiah, is about to appear. So, while the revolutionary movements there gripping the Middle East have created uncertainty over the region, there's a video that the Iranian regime produced that reveals their intentions. It's called The Coming is Near. The video was produced by a group called the Conductors of the Coming. And in connection with the Iranian paramilitary force, claims the Mahdi will lead the armies of Islam to victory over all non-Muslims in the last days. That's their belief. It's in their film. Apparently, they believe we're in the last days. The end of days. Do you believe that? Look how they are acting with response to the belief that these are the last days. How are Christians responding? Not much. Business as usual, just like Jesus said it was going to be, as it was in the days of Noah. Business as usual, no real recognition of the times until it's too late. That's why we do what we do here on Viewpoint, friends. Preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. There's so many ways to do it. Yesterday we talked about our marriages. We need to be prepared with our marriages. God is looking at your marriage and mine as the smallest microcosm of his church, and we need to get that in order. And he's not coming back for a bride, male or female. So-called believers in Christ, he's not coming back for a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So the mullahs now, there in Iran, are requiring absolute purity in Islam. They won't tolerate anything else. How many people are being executed there in Iran because the mullahs deem them not to be fair, pure, holy Muslims? Therefore, they're preventing the coming of the Messiah, the Mahdi. So the whole world now has to be wary. Every man, every woman, every child soon faces the final choices of a Messiah. And Messiah is coming. His name is Yeshua. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Let's look at the Messiah factor for a few moments here as we're talking about the interrelationship of Shiite Islam through Iran that believes that they are the vanguard of the Islamic revolution to rule the world. Notice, there is no love lost between Saudi Arabia, Muslim Saudi Arabia, excuse me, Saudi Arabia and Iran. One is Sunni Muslim, the other is Shiite Muslim. And then you have Turkey. Turkey also wants to rule the world as an Islamic power base. That's what Mr. Erdogan has been about. His whole presidency has been about causing Turkey to become a resurrected Ottoman Empire to rule the world under Sharia law. But there's no love lost between Iran and Turkey. So they're battling in their own way within Islam for King of the Mountain. Who's going to be the one that will rule and reign for Allah? So the reality is that there are competitors that are taking place, and if we don't understand the nature of the battle or the war that's going on, which I call it the epic, the end time, and eternal battle for King of the Mountain, it's emerging right in front of our eyes, friends. And that's why you might want to consider getting a copy of my book, King of the Mountain. Because that's the first in what you might call a series to prepare the way of the Lord, the eternal epic end time battle. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. And by the way, if you get King of the Mountain and Messiah at the same time or any other book, then the second book will be only $2 postage and handling instead of $5. So you get a savings that way. But these books actually open up your understanding from a biblical perspective as to the dynamics that are taking place, because if we can understand the dynamics that are taking place, then we will not be prone to run in fear and continual apprehension. We'll realize how these things are happening, why they're happening, in what order they're happening, and then we can live by faith and not by fear. You see, that's the goal. Living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting, confiding in his dear love. Safe from all harm in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. The lyrics of an old hymn. Haven't sung it for a long time, have we? Now, Israel also has had a growing messianic interest. In fact, in the late 1970s, there was a slogan that came out, "We want Mashiach now." That Mashiach means Messiah. A further interest is that the call for Messiah among the more fundamentalist Jewish groups corresponds in time with the publication of that phenomenally bestseller, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, back in the 1970s. So there's been a movement, a spirit preparing for these times. In 1992, just as the Holy Spirit had spoken to me to leave the practice of law at the height of my career, that I'd been pleading the cause of men long enough, he wanted me to plead his cause in the land as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. In 1992, I'm driving along a busy Southern California freeway to court. And lo, to my wondering eyes, on the side of the road was a massive 60-foot-long billboard. And here's what it said. Sword of the Lord coming soon. Sword of the Lord coming soon. Wow. A month or two later, that billboard was changed. And here was the next one. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Have you seen a billboard like that? That was put up by a 30-year-old young man who invested his life savings to shout out a message that he said the Lord had burned on his heart. We actually had that young man here on this program years ago. That was in 1992. But the Messiah factor has mushroomed dramatically across the world. In 2005, the Russian chief rabbi Beryl Lazar publicly announced his conviction that the earth will soon see the coming of Messiah to judge all mankind. Here's what he said. We know that he is very near at hand. In explaining this, he said, the world today is in a state described by our sages as Hevele Mashiach. That means labor that precedes the coming of a Messiah. He said, we are living on the verge of history, and it can be felt everywhere. What do you say? Has that message reached your heart yet? It's reached your ears, I'm sure, but has it reached your heart yet? You see, if it had reached our hearts as professing Christians, we would be in a serious mode of asking the Lord to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, said the psalmist. That's what we would be doing. We would not be presuming that we could, because we made some confession of faith 30, 40, 50 years ago, that somehow everything's wonderful, everything's cool. No, because the scripture says he's not coming back for a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You say, well, I thought I had eternal security. Well, you do if you're eternally faithful. If you're walking in righteousness and holiness without which no man will see the Lord, yes. No man can take you out of the Father's hand. Jesus said so. But you can take yourself out. Oh, I never thought of it that way. You might want to think about it that way, friends. And messianic fervor is growing. Anticipation of Messiah is growing among professing Christians. That's why persecution, friends, is growing rapidly. Have you noticed that yet? Why do you think I just completed the writing of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times? This day, the poster of that is being prepared by FedEx. It will be used when the book comes out. It will first be manifested in Massachusetts. To a group of our listeners, it will also be manifested in a Russian-Ukrainian church of 2,000 members. Where we'll be presenting this call. The pastor of that church says, I want to get many of those books because our young people are not ready. They've been so absorbed into American culture, they're just absolutely not ready for the coming of the Lord. Or for any persecution that might come. They're going to submit. Not to the Lord, but to the persecutors. Now maybe you understand a little bit better. Jesus said, one of the key characteristics of these times, as the pressure grows, will be massive persecution, not just massive deception, but followed by massive persecution. Not persecution of the unbelievers, but persecution of believers, preceded by massive anti-Semitism of the Jewish people. And that's exactly what we're seeing, isn't it? We don't have time to go into all that again today, but every single day now, every single day, there are new illustrations of significant persecution and anti-Semitism occurring not only worldwide, but in the Western world and in America. That's why so many of our listeners have decided to become part of the Persecution Project. The Persecution Project, again, for those of you that are not aware of it, is a concept that I believe the Lord dropped in my heart one day, right in the middle of a program about 2 months ago, to allow our listeners who have a heart to see these things happening and want to do something, want to be a participant, asking, what can I do, Lord? What is it that I can do? Well, the most important thing you can do is to be what you must be from God's viewpoint. In other words, clean hands and a pure heart, walking with the Lord in the light of his word, because he'll shed a glory on your way. When you do his good will, he'll abide with you still and with all who will truly trust and obey. But you can also do something else, and that is you can become God's hand extended and an extension of this ministry, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, by becoming part of that persecution project. And here's what you do. For your gift of $250 to Save America Ministries, we will, when the book comes out sometime around August, we will provide to you 10 copies of that very significant book. Why? Not because you're buying a book. No, because you're facilitating the opportunity now to become a partner, in the sense that you're not just partnering with us financially. You're partnering with the Lord and the entire purpose of the ministry to prepare the way of the Lord among those who you believe, or who the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart, who would need to receive that message of that book, to be prepared to understand that persecution is coming. Parents, grandparents, pastors, parachurch leaders, youth leaders. All right? You then will pass out those books. Not sell them. Pass out those books. Freely you've received, freely give, and you'll pass them out, trusting that the Holy Spirit then will lead and guide people in turn to prepare the way of the Lord in their own hearts, so that their children will not be taken away in the waves of persecution to come. You want to be part of that? Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Persecution Project. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, put on your check, Persecution Project. Or you can go to the website, saveus.org. And there's a special place there for you to sign up for that Persecution Project. And when those books come out, you will be the first to receive them. I hope that you will hear that. There are many who have up till now. It's pushing 40 now. That's quite a few. Maybe you should be a part of it. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain. $15 on the website, saveus.org. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.